In the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends. Years ago, you might remember that there was a rather popular frozen pizza commercial that appeared on television, and it asked you the question, what do you want on your tombstone? Of course, it was referring to tombstone pizza. But that rhetorical question, which is, what do you want on your tombstone, got me to thinking about what people might put not on their pizza pie, but on their actual tombstone. So, thinking about that, I went to the source of all knowledge, Google, and I checked it out. Here's a sampling from celebrities who maintained a sense of humor even after they died. Merv Griffin, his tombstone says this on it, I will not be back right after this message. Mel Blanc, the voice of Bugs Bunny, on his tombstone it says, that's all, folks. Rodney Dangerfield, there goes the neighborhood. Jackie Gleason, and away we go. Billy Wilder, on his it says, I'm a writer, but then nobody's perfect. And here are a few headstones from some non-celebrity runner-ups. One gravestone in the 1880s in Nantucket, Massachusetts, said this, under the sod and under the trees lies the body of Jonathan Pease. He's not here, there's only the pod. Peas shelled out and went to God. A few more. Here lies Johnny Yeast. Pardon me for not rising. Yeah, they get better. Children of Israel wanted bread. The Lord sent them manna. Old man Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent him Anna. And then in the namesake town of Tombstone, Arizona, here lies Lester Moore, four slugs from a .44, no less, no more. You'll get it on the way home. But my all-time favorite, one that I know you've all heard before, it actually is written on a tombstone, I told you I was sick. Well, everybody, it seems, wants to be remembered for something. This morning, we're going to consider the matter of leaving behind a legacy, something that you want to pass down to your children and to all generations that will follow you to come. And so we turn to our text, our first reading for this morning, 1 Kings chapter 2, where King David, we see, is on his deathbed. And he summons his son, Solomon, and he tells him he's going to die. And then comes David's last will and testament, his desired legacy, if you will, that he wants to hand down to Solomon. He says this, be strong, be a man, keep the way of the Lord your God, walk in his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, that you may prosper in your life, that the Lord may keep his word, that if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. A good parent leaves a lasting legacy for their children, don't they? Certainly, physically, King David provided the very best for his son Solomon, by way of the best, no doubt, in royal clothing that a king could provide, and food and drink and an ornate palace, no doubt, and gold and gifts and all the trappings of royal luxury that you might expect that a king would give to his son. And even though we're not kings or queens here in Lake Country, like David, I'm sure all of us love our children. And we wish also to provide everything possible for them in life, everything that we can humanly afford to do for them to help them as they grow into adulthood. And for those of us who have written wills or who have done estate planning or have established trusts, often the children are remembered even after their parents are gone, with an inheritance of property or vehicles or personal effects or a financial inheritance, be those things big or small. And that's all fine and good, isn't it? But is that all that you really want to be remembered for? Your stuff that you left behind, your house or your financial portfolio, or that you left your kids your car when you and your spouse are both gone? when as parents you're dead and gone, what lasting legacy would you want to leave behind for your kids? What would you want written on your tombstone? But more than that, what would you want written on your children's hearts? For you see, whether you realize it or not, everybody leaves behind a legacy, whether it's a good one or a bad one, for their children to inherit. And so as you think about it, you might ask yourself some questions. Will my kids stay Christian when I'm gone? Will they be a good partner for their spouse? Will they have a happy and successful marriage? Will they be good parents? Are they going to be just like you? Or will they be better than you? Or worse? One guy put it this way. He said, I hope that when my son meets somebody who says, I knew your dad, that my son will stick out his chest with pride instead of his tongue with disgust. The legacy you leave behind for your children to follow very much depends on what they learn from you. Because as much as you might hope that the church or the school or the pastors or the teachers are going to instill in your kids a positive legacy to follow, ultimately it's going to be more about you than anyone else in your children's lives. It's important to think about. Because research has shown that children's biggest and most influential role models are their moms and their dads. What they see at home, what they hear at home, what they experience in their lives at home, and how they witness what you do or don't do in your own life. That's where the rubber meets the road. I've shared this poem before in a past sermon that I've preached in this pulpit, but it's worth repeating it once again. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with fear, they learn to be apprehensive. If children live with pity, they learn to feel sorry for themselves. If children live with ridicule, they learn to feel shy. If children live with jealousy, they learn to feel envy. And if children live with shame, they learn to feel guilt. But if children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If children live with tolerance, they learn patience. If children live with praise, they learn appreciation. If children live with acceptance, they learn to love. If children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If children live with recognition, they learn that it's good to have a goal. If children live with sharing, they learn generosity. If children live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. If children live with fairness, they learn justice. If children live with kindness and consideration, they learn respect. If children live with security, they learn to have faith in themselves and in those around them. And if children live with friendliness, they learn the world's a nice place in which to live. Parenting is one of the toughest jobs in the world. My wife and I know that very, very well, raising two kids ourselves. It's a huge responsibility to be entrusted with little lives that look to you alone to find their way in life as they grow. It's a tremendous responsibility on parents. As parents, even as Christian parents, even as a pastor and a pastor's wife, we fail. And we often fail miserably. If you follow the life of Solomon after David died, and then the life of Rehoboam, and all of the others that followed after King David's death, you will discover it was not all hearts and roses. It wasn't that all of those kings in David's line were always epitomes of virtue and strong, godly men. No, on the contrary, David's offspring made mistakes. Many times they worshipped false gods, idols, and they weren't the rulers that David would have wanted to imagine as he lay dying. None were perfect, because David wasn't perfect. Solomon wasn't, and Rehoboam certainly was not, especially as he ended up splitting the kingdom of Israel and disobeying God. And even though we are Christian mothers and fathers here, perhaps some of you have a broken heart this morning over how one or more of your children might have turned out. Perhaps you blame yourself for being too busy when they were growing up, or a poor example at times, or for not being the parent that you had hoped you'd be when your children were born. As somebody once said, children have never been good at listening to their parents, but they have never failed to imitate them. If that thought evokes a little bit of guilt in your heart this morning, you're not alone, because we all have at times blown it and failed as parents. If that's the case for you, and I would assume it might be, as it is for me, don't forget the cross of Christ that we proclaim every Sunday here in this place. And this coming week, as we begin our Lenten journey to Calvary, where we will again see the blood-bought forgiveness of sins, courtesy of Jesus Christ. Full and free forgiveness of all of our sins, for all of our screw-ups as parents, the poor examples we've set for our kids, and our lack of the best parenting skills. Our kids never came with instruction manuals. So oftentimes, as moms and dads, we just had to feel our way along, figuring it out as we go. And most importantly, looking to God for forgiveness when we sensed that we weren't the best role models for our family, or providing for our children a God-pleasing legacy that we know we should have. But you know, friends, it's never too late. It's never too late, unless it's too late. You still have time to make it right as parents. Don't wait for your deathbed to say what needs to be said to your kids. Because when your chair at the family Thanksgiving table is one day empty, and when there are no Christmas gifts under the tree for you or for your kids, when you are dead and gone to be with the Lord, what would you hope your children might say about you? What would you like them to remember about you and your life? Would it be what you left them physically, or what you left them spiritually? A legacy of some numbers on a bank statement that they get, or an address of a lake home, or a sports car that will end up one day on the used car lot? Or would it be a legacy that would last with your children all the way to eternity? Unfortunately, in this day and age, when we drop off our laundry at the dry cleaners, when we drop off our cars to the local mechanic, when we drop off our packages to FedEx or UPS to ship, parents are tempted to think that they can just drop off their kids to the God box, drop off their kids to the Lutheran school box, and then pick them up later after the religious professionals have taught their children all of that God stuff so mom and dad don't have to. And then for some of these families, there might not be any family devotions at all at home. No prayer times at meals. Baptismal candles received in the church forgotten and lost in the depths of a junk drawer. And confirmation meaning nothing more than a religious graduation rite from church. And worshiping only on Christmas and Easter. With kids dropped off like so much dirty laundry, while mom and dad shoot over to McDonald's or Starbucks to get a coffee, not realizing that their kids are witnessing the minor importance that their parents put on God and his house and Christian education. It says in the Bible, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Those words can be a blessing, or they can be a curse. A great legacy you leave, or a failure that will evoke guilt for the rest of your life. We parents have such a short time to make the right impression on our children before they're grown up and gone, and it's their empty chairs that surround your dinner table as you sit there alone. It goes real quick, trust me. You have such a short time to build a strong Christian legacy of Christian faith in your children's hearts and in their lives. Because if all you leave your kids is a material inheritance without leaving them a spiritual legacy, they're going to be poor no matter how large the inheritance you leave them. I hope that when I'm no longer here on this earth, that I would be remembered for two things in my kids' life. First, I would like to know that they said, my dad loved his God. And secondly, that he loved his family. I would hope that I wouldn't be remembered by a bunch of pictures in a photo album that they take out from time to time, or that they remember me for the material stuff that I left them, or some funny stories that I like to tell over and over, or a big house, or stuff in that house. But rather that my family, especially my two kids, would remember what their mom and their dad stood for, what we lived for, and best of all, in whom we trusted, and who died and rose for us and for them. My prayer would be that our faith in Jesus Christ might be remembered, and that my family was loved, even though at times we approach that task with stumbling and way too many failures. That would be a good legacy, I think, that they would remember us for following Jesus in our lives. It's never too late, even if you sit with a wee bit of guilt this morning for how you've treated one another or your children and your family. It's not too late to say that you're sorry, to show love, and to make it right, and to ask God for forgiveness of how you've treated one another. You see, a Christian parent isn't a perfect parent. King David certainly wasn't. If you read up on his life, and Solomon wasn't a perfect parent either, and certainly not Rehoboam by a long shot. So we're among sinners in Scripture, just like you and me. But David said something in our text about a man who would always sit on the throne of Israel, a messianic reference to the eternal throne of Jesus Christ. God was faithful to his people, despite the unfaithfulness of Israel's sons. And so Jesus took the throne of David for eternity. And it's Christ who is the living legacy. He's your legacy and he's mine. And my prayer is that Jesus will be and is the living legacy that you're going to leave for your children and for your grandchildren and for your great-grandchildren and every single generation that will follow you to heaven. I ask that that would be the case. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise.